Praise God. I want to talk about confidence tonight. And I've, anybody been, I'll lose some of y'all, but I'll gain some of you maybe. I've been watching the basketball a little bit. Anybody watching the NBA stuff? What's that? Is it Jalen Brunson? Did I get that right? I'm not a Knicks fan, but man, I'm impressed with that guy. And I don't like the way they play basketball, but he still wins. They just give it to him and they let him do his thing, you know, and he's not that tall and he just makes it happen. And I think they weren't they behind like 20 points? And then they came back and of course my Nuggets did it too, so I kind of feel happy about that. That last second three-pointer that didn't need to be a three-pointer, but it was. It was fun. But something that is just so blatantly obvious, especially this time of year, is the amount of, him especially, the confidence. And I'm thinking, he didn't just pick up a basketball yesterday. He's been living this for a long time. There's a reason why he can go out there and they can be 20 points down and he can still go out there and not have his head down. Because some people, you see that. It changes. And you can tell, well, they don't believe in themselves anymore. You know, it's down the tubes. And really, you know, we are in a continual competition. Fighting a good fight of faith like we're talking about on Sunday. But there's a need for there to be confidence. And so I want to touch on that. How do we establish confidence? So I was looking for some help, you know, just in a practical sense from some of the things that we have available. And I thought, I just have to go to the Word on this because this isn't just natural. This isn't just natural confidence that you can get from just talking to yourself or something, you know. But we have some really good tools to be confident. And here's another thing too, is it's important where your confidence lies. And this is where we're going to kind of make sure that it's in the right place. Because there's a lot of people that have confidence in the wrong thing. Or it's an ill-placed, you know, confidence. And sometimes it can really be annoying, somebody that has confidence in absolutely stupid stuff. You know, it's like... doesn't do any good. But we have, and it's so important. Again, going back to him, that guard, it's like, it doesn't matter how good he is, what he's capable of, if there's no confidence. There has to be a support of that. So this is very much like faith. It's very much like what we were talking about on Sunday. But there's a need for there to be, there's going to be a change in how you look. There's going to be a change in your stance, the look in your eye. Go to the Nuggets. Their guard likes to play in the playoffs, and he plays differently. So the last game I'm looking at him, he has a look in his eye. It's kind of like the eye of the tiger or something, you know. I thought, he doesn't look like this during the season. His eyes are like wide open. I'm thinking, he looks like he's on something or something. But I believe that's how it should be when you really have confidence in what you're capable of doing. We should not be, you know, lethargic. We should not be impressed by the world, but we should have some confidence that's obvious in our eyes, in our gait, in how happy we are. Okay, I'm just going to go through. I have several notes. There's some in the app. I don't know if you're familiar with the app or not, but I've got everything that I'm going to do here tonight in here. You can go back and look at it later if you'd like. But there's a need for confidence, and I'm just going to go through some things here real quick. It says, it enables moving forward in the face of adversity. So when there's an opposition, if you're going to make it through that opposition, through the resistance of it, you have to have confidence, right? It's debilitating anxiety is diffused and put aside by confidence. So what happens when you're anxious about something, when you're insecure, it debilitates you. It makes you so you can't do something. You're not able to do something that you're actually able to do. Is that right? And that comes with anxiety. But you can take care of that with confidence, right? Positions are taken with boldness to fulfill critical roles. Man, we see this happening with somebody. You know, Churchill is one of the great examples of this, you know. He goes in there. We have some other leadership going on right now that I think it's critical that there's some confidence there. That things would not be done if there wasn't confidence. I told my wife, I said, it's not so much about the person, it's about what they're saying with confidence. I'm going to do this. It doesn't matter the opposition, we're going to do this. I've got confidence. The confident see themselves victorious before they enter the competition. So when you're confident, you're already seeing yourself victorious, right? It's required. If you have a chance of being successful, there's got to be confidence. Is that right? And then it establishes stability. Now, I was thinking about this with regard, especially the older you get, they say what happens is you start to lose strength. And what it causes you to do, and I saw this with my parents, the less mobile you are and the less strength that you have, you're not able to even keep your balance very well. And so you become unstable, and you lose your confidence. You don't even want to do stuff anymore because you don't. You're not confident. You're afraid of falling, and that's a big thing. I think for us, we can't be afraid of falling. And again, there's a spiritual side of this, but you it's going to require some confidence. So there's a need for it. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to go through 6 points here. I got some passages we're going to go through. And I don't have my clock back there, so we're in luck. I can go as long as we need to. No, I'm not going to. But, so one of the first things it requires is a clear conscience and unbiased. So the reason why I say this is when somebody, and you see this, you know, we just went through the draft and a big part of what they're looking at when they sit down with somebody, we had one quarterback go way down in the draft and they're saying, and there's a lot of speculation on why that was, but a lot of it, what they're saying is they got him in the room and they identified character flaws that they weren't comfortable with. And you know, you can have somebody that's a really good athlete, but if they have character flaws, it's going to compromise their ability to maintain confidence. Does that make sense? There was a golfer. I won't name any names, but he had a personal fall, and it caused him, I believe, it compromised his confidence, I believe. He had a lot of other things take place. But there's a necessity, especially as Christians, for there to be confidence in doing what we need to do. There needs to be a clear conscience. Now, and we'll get into this, what's so wonderful is that God never condemns us. He's never holding things against us. But our own hearts do. And when our own heart is condemning us, we don't have confidence. And we'll get into that. So it requires a clear conscience, first of all. Here's partly how that is affected also is to get to give yourself in the way that's going to need to become developed in confidence. You actually have to have a good attitude towards it. I'll do a musical thing with this. It's like I learned classical guitar because I grew up in the 70s and all they did was play 11 and distorted, you know. And I thought, that's a bunch of panty waste that don't want to play without an amplifier, you know. So I'm going to play without one. And so I learned how to play classical guitar, and it's a completely different style. It's not better than anybody else, but I like it a lot. And so I have these two boys that I spawn with my wife, and they like it completely different. And they are biased like I was against rock and roll. They're biased against classical. I'm not going to get them to learn it. They're not going to have any confidence even developing the skills because their heart's not right towards it. Can you see that? It's kind of a good correlation, I think. Right? So if you're biased against something at all, man, I'm never going to be a Democrat. I'm sorry. I said that out loud, didn't I? You know, and it's not that I don't like people that are. It's just I can't do that, you know. It goes against me. I can't. I would be a dishonest. Right? It wouldn't be who I am. So that goes to your conscience. You can't be a liar with certain things. You're just going to be who you are. Mentoring, okay? So you're going to need to have somebody that you look up to that is the example of how to do it initially, but then you actually have to submit to how they say to do it. Is that right? There's going to be some instruction that comes along, and why this is necessary is when you actually get ready to perform something, it's going to be because you've instilled the way to do it, not just observing somebody, but actually doing it, okay? And I put uncompromised on here because there's a whole bunch of mentoring going on in the world right now that wants to draw us into it. There's a lot of people that really think they know everything, and we can give ourselves to those things. But if we're going to be mentored in the confidence that we need in Christ, it has to be uncompromised by a tainted influence. Does that make sense? We have to be careful we're not listening to somebody else and actually idolizing. Not that we idolize, but we do. He's our God, isn't he? We look unto him only. And so if that's going to take place, the mentoring to have confidence towards him, it can't be diverted. Your mentoring, your instruction, your guidance can't come from a different direction. Amen? Then there's going to need to be rehearsal or practice. Okay? I remember two a days, and it was in Colorado, so it wasn't as bad as it would be here. But if you're not practicing, if you haven't gone through this before, and we'll get into that, okay? You have to have been there before if you're going to have confidence, right? My experience has been I've practiced the fire out of stuff, and I've still been lacking in confidence because it needs everything. Yeah. It needs a full aspect of this, partly because I got anxious about it. And so for there to be confidence, you can't just practice, you can't just have a mentor, you can't just be pure in heart. You actually have to be free of anxiety. And I put on here breathing. How many know that it's very important to breathe? You can tell if somebody's not confident. Messes up your breathing, right? To have confidence, there needs to be strength. And it goes to what I was referring to with balance and everything else. There needs to be an assurance of victory and a reward. So part of what your confidence is driven by is a promise of reward. It's not just going to be a haphazard thing. There's a reason why I'm doing this. There's a reason why I'm confident. Amen? There's a reason why Brunson keeps displaying his confidence. Because he's wanting to win. Is that right? It's a critical part of confidence. If you don't really care about the end result, you're not going to do what it takes to be confident. Amen? All right. So let's go to clear conscience here. And I've got some passages we're going to go through. Walking in the light exposes places of the heart that compromise confidence. So here's what's really wonderful to me. And a lot of times it's avoided because we're naturally bent towards being perfect before we go before God. It's just really human concept. You come to God completely messed up, and you believe that he's going to forgive you, but then you take on this attitude that now I have to do something to please him, right? And he's saying, all I want you to do is walk in the light. Walk in my presence. Just be with me. In fact, we're going to see this. Because he knows stuff that's wrong with us that we don't even have a clue yet, you know? There's so much that we get just affected by the world, and we don't even realize. If we had to confess everything, we'd never get done. And he says, you know what? I don't need you to be aware of everything that's wrong. I need you to come walk in my light. Isn't this cool? Because the conscience, we're not going to fix it on our own. And I think that's one of the big lies that the enemy wants to do for us, even as Christians, is say, man, you got to look at you. What you doing? And when we get in relationship and fellowship with God, we just walk with him. And he'll start taking care of stuff. He'll say, oh, look at this. And you say, oh, yeah, I didn't see that till the light went on. And now I can see it. And here's what's happening is all the time, even with these things that we're not completely aware of, our heart knows. Our heart knows what's going on. And it reduces its confidence. So I like this statement. Walking in the light exposes places of the heart that compromise confidence. So really to develop any more in confidence in any other way, this has to be taken care of first, doesn't it? Amen? Let's look at 1 John 1, 5 through 9. And this is the message God has given us to pass on to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Man, the bar is completely high. You know, what we can be tempted to do is just to say, I'm not going to get it right anyway, so I'm just going to go ahead and be and just trust grace to take care of everything. But to be with him at all, there's no darkness. So I would rather say, I just want to get free of all darkness than to say, God's going to forgive me for the darkness. You know, he will, but he forgives you so that you can come into the light. Amen? So if we say we are his friends but go on living in spiritual darkness and sin, we are lying. But if we are living in the light of God's presence, just as Christ does, then we have wonderful fellowship and joy with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from every sin. Isn't this cool? I like the identification that you're walking in his light is that we can walk with each other. Because therein lies most of the compromises of our heart is with interaction with each other. Is that right? If we say that we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and refusing to accept the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he can be depended on to forgive us and to cleanse us from every wrong. And it is perfectly proper for God to do this for us because Christ died to wash away our sins. So this is the heart of God, isn't it? He didn't send Jesus so that we could just go on being in darkness and still have some kind of a notion that we're okay. He came to free us from the darkness, to take us into a place of light. And any confidence we're going to have beyond that, it begins here. Amen? And I'm so grateful that the confession of our sin, and I think it kind of goes, and I think there's another passage we're going to look at, but if we confess our sins, that means every time we become aware of something, it's not like we have to go looking for stuff. We don't become sin conscious. We're not just thinking about what's wrong all the time. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. But when there is something that comes to light, man, I'm ready to let go of it. Amen? Because I find out that this is God's heart. And if I want to be confident towards him, if I want to walk in his light, I'm going to be willing to let go of this. And what's really cool is his grace comes along to not just forgive you of it, but to deliver you from the habit of it. Amen? All right. Let's look at 1 John 3:18. John has a real insight into this, doesn't he? Allows for bold asking in God's presence. So when your heart is right, now you can actually go to him and feel confident talking to him about stuff. Is that right? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. This is critical, isn't it? And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. You know, it was, if you're not careful, you start thinking that you have to do everything right. You have to keep his commandments. But what he's saying is this is more about fellowship than it is dominance or slavery. Amen? It's just an identifier that if there's a command that he gives and you love him, to have a heart that's right towards him, it's going to be something that you're not bound to do, but you willingly do because you love him. Amen? And that's so critical because of what it does to the heart. It's faith, everything that we have to do with God is our heart, isn't it? It's Jesus said, you look on the outward appearance, I look on the heart. Amen? When they were looking for the king of Israel, no, we look at the heart. Amen? First John 2:28. The blessed hope of his appearing comes with a confident conscience. You know, one of the best things we can have as a motivator, compulsion for our lives is seeing Jesus again. Amen? You know, we don't talk about it. Man, when I was a kid, we used to talk about the rapture all the time. I'd come home from school and mom wouldn't be there and I thought I missed it, you know, and all that kind of stuff, you know. It's because we're expecting him to come. And my problem was back then is I was afraid that I wasn't going to get to, rather than being, you know, anticipating him. But there's a passage in Titus that talks about it and says, salvation has been presented to everybody. And this salvation, what it does is it causes you to be drawn to him. And it's a grace that purifies you to be in his presence. And while you're doing that, you're waiting for the blessed hope. You know, there's all kinds of hopes. We talked about hope on Sunday, but there's all kinds of things that we can be, our hearts are drawn to. Some of them are good, but man, the main thing, the blessed hope is the appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, that hope gets altered when your conscience is altered, all right? It's like when you haven't obeyed your dad, when you didn't take out the trash yet, you don't want to see him. He's not your blessed hope. Amen? You know, if everything was just cool and grace had just covered everything else, there wouldn't be some maze in this passage, you know. And now little children abide in him that when he appears, we may. This abiding in him. And again, I love it. It's not something that's put upon us that we're going to have to just do everything right. But to have confidence towards him, this abiding that we have in him shouldn't be something that we just claim, but it gets demonstrated in what we do. Amen? Because our heart knows. If you know that he's righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Huh, there's an identifier. And our heart knows this so well. Amen? And confidence is necessary, isn't it? We have a fight to win. We have a good fight to win, and it requires our confidence. Begins with this purity of heart in his presence. Amen? Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for that right now. Lord, we thank you that when we behold you in your glory, Lord, there's an effect upon us. Lord, I thank you that you strip from us this addiction to things of the world, Lord God, that you don't like because they hurt us. that draw us away from you, Lord. And we thank you that you purify us when we come into your presence. You purify us when we acknowledge you. You purify us when we lift up our hearts before you in worship. And Father God, you prepare us to actually anticipate your coming, knowing that we've been living in, abiding in your presence, purified by your salvation. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Mentoring, instruction, valuing godly examples above the world's wannabes. You know, there's something going on right now where a large portion of the world, I guess they say it's 1 billion people, are waiting for their new leader. And that would seem to be similar to what we're talking about, but it's not that for us. We don't look up to people, and yet we are honoring of people, and we need an example. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. There needs to be somebody that we're looking up to that is. If somebody falls, I'm not falling with them. But I need to have an example because I need instruction. I need help. Hebrews 13:7. Remember your leaders who have taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and try to trust the Lord as they do. Huh. So we are supposed to have some mentoring, aren't we? I thought about the length sometimes that I can go, and I scared you all with saying that we don't have a clock tonight. But Paul used to speak all night long, you know? And what was the purpose of that? It's because we need instruction. We need, and it's only the word that will change us. It's the only word that will make the difference. And it's going to come through somebody that we need to honor. Amen? Providing godly guidance produces kingdom confidence. I like this. So when you submit to some guidance, you enable yourself with confidence. Now I'm not just going into something blindly. I've seen somebody else make this work. Amen? I've been instructed on what God's opinion is, on what he's declared for me, what the promises are for me. And now, I don't go into this blindly. I go into it with confidence. It's kind of like David when he went in onto the battlefield with Goliath. He went on there with confidence, didn't he? Because he knew who his God was. His heart was right towards God. And he knew the condition of his opposition. And he wasn't circumcised. He wasn't even right before God. He said, you're coming down. I'm going to cut your head off. Little boy, he had confidence. Amen? But he had to have that guidance. He had a relationship with Samuel, didn't he? I think he looked up to Samuel. He looked up to this prophet. And it allowed him to have confidence himself. There was a way that was put before him. Providing godly guidance produces kingdom confidence. 1 Thessalonians 2:10 through 12. You yourselves are our witnesses, and so is God, that we were devout and honest and faultless toward all of you believers. And you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. We pleaded with you, encouraged you, and urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy, for he called you to share in his kingdom and glory. So he's speaking to them. He's saying, I've been an example for you. I've provided you with everything that you need to have some confidence. Well, there's another side of it, though, that I see, though, is part of this whole process is for us to take the position of Paul also. If we've come into the knowledge of what's right, now part of my confidence isn't just going into the battle myself, but showing somebody else how to. You know, as a coach, part of what you emanate is confidence. That the kids aren't gonna have it if you don't. They need that. And so it actually enables you and your own confidence. I don't know if you sense that or not, but when you get ready to go somewhere and lead these boys, you better not be lacking in confidence yourself. Is that right? So there's this, and I believe it's part of the kingdom. It's kingdom principles. Amen. That we submit and we allow ourselves to be mentored, but then we take a position. And that's what we're supposed to do. Not just be warming the pew, but actually taking the position. Amen. Refusing confident reliance on any alternatives is essential for confidence in Him. So, I alluded to this a little bit before, but it's so necessary to become. You know, once you find out, they say that this is how you find, you identify counterfeit money, is you hold a whole bunch of legitimate money, and then you can actually just tell by the feel of it. You can tell when something's not right. You abide in the light. You become active in being confident and leading somebody else to that. Man, you become very resistant and defensive against anything that's going to come in and divert from that. Amen? Classical guitar, you have to sit a certain way. You have to hold your hand a certain way. And I did it all wrong when I went to college. And they start ripping you apart. And it's like, but you develop this real appreciation for the right way to do something. And you become resistant to anything that's going to hurt that. You're not going to do something halfway at all because you don't want to compromise the development of the right way. Amen? And this becomes something where you're not looking to judge somebody else, but boy, you're not letting somebody else, some other diversion come in and disrupt your confidence. Because you start giving yourself to another way, and your heart knows you did. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. When we say the flesh, you know, there's all kinds of things that have to do with that. I think it's the world. I think it's anything that has to do with another option, the one we're getting from Him. We're talking about mentoring and instruction here, right? Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. And Paul goes to bragging here. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. He said, of all the things that I could be diverted to and see as my identity, he says, I'm not going to let them come between me and my mentor. Amen? Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So Paul says, you know, in another passage, he says, there's one thing I do. I keep pressing to the mark, the prize of the high calling. There's something that was not going to keep, he's not going to let anything come between him and getting that. Amen? So let's go to rehearsal and practice. Failure to actually do the word is like really reading how-to guides and never developing a skill. Aren't you grateful for YouTube now? You can find out how to do anything on YouTube. And in fact, I found out how to do something. fix my truck, and I'm not proud, but I've done it like 4 or 5 times because I did it wrong every time. But I know how to take it apart really well now. It's like I can really do that part. No, I left out a little gasket on the master cylinder, and so the booster wasn't working. Anyway, but just looking at the YouTube on how to do that doesn't do anything until you get in there and start turning some wrenches, you know, start doing something yourself. And that's why I'm so good at performing that one isolated thing on that truck. But I can do it well because I've done it over and over again. It's not enough to listen to cassette tapes. Kind of dating myself, right? It's not enough to listen to whatever online stuff. You know, I guess it's all online right now. But does no good. It's like my wife was saying, man, you need to listen to this sermon. And you know what? You can get so fat and so full of how to do stuff, and until you do it a little bit, you're not going to have any confidence at all anyway. Amen? Jesus said, man, it doesn't do any good to hear if you don't go do. It's a big thing in confidence. You don't just show videos of how to play basketball. You go out and dribble. Not just a little. You do... And you go to the free shot line. Isn't it amazing how just shooting free shots can help all your shots? Is that true? That's kind of how I understood anyway. Is that right? It's like, man, you get that down, you get your shot down, and now it'll work in other places. Is that right? But what does it take? You can't just have somebody tell you. And what's amazing to me, some of these NBA players, they've been shown how to do it, and they still don't do it right. It's like, how do they miss? You know, it's like something's wrong. But it requires actually doing. So we get confidence by having a pure heart, by getting a mentor. But then, man, you got to start doing something. You can't have just somebody telling you how to do it. You got to start doing it. Amen? And it's this way with God. You don't wait for a big deal to happen before you actually start working faith. You live it by faith. Every day when you get up, you're starting to do little things. Boy, I have faith in God. I have faith that he's with me right now. It takes faith for that, you know? But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. And who knows that you're doing that? Your heart does, right? For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. You never develop the skill. You never identify with what you've seen, what you've heard, until you actually do it. And then I identified as a classical guitarist. And that's all I wanted to do. And anyway, all right, let me keep going. Each practiced motion affects your proximity. And this is a really cool thing with God. I like that the revelation of him, actually we go from faith to faith, don't we? When you practice one thing, it actually takes you a little bit closer to him all the time. Amen? And it does something to your heart. Every time you say, I'm intentionally going to do what the word says, your heart knows it. And it actually makes it more confident towards God. It's not so much about trying to not do things that will displease him. But what will please him? Amen? And that, every time you actually do something that pleases him, it does something to your proximity to him. It gets you closer to him. But those who do what is right come to the light. Don't you like that? It's kind of like flies, right? So others can see that they are doing what God wants. Says, you know what? Every time you obey the word, every time you get closer to God, it's going to be obvious. You're going to put off a glory. It's going to be obvious that you are. Hebrews 3:4. Faithfulness to the process builds confident hope to the end. So when you start doing these things and you develop faith, aren't you grateful that God is faithful? He always does the same thing over and over again, doesn't he? He never changes. He says, I want that same thing from you. I want you to walk in this for it to be your way. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. It was because of Moses' faithfulness that he was actually able to fulfill his purpose. Every little thing that he did, Isn't it amazing that he went 40 years, messed up once, and lost it all? I'm grateful that we have grace and God will work with us, but how much is our heart knowing every time whether we're going with what God says or not? Amen. Anxiety-free breathing. That's where you can just... Amen. Enables deep and productive, confident breaths by taking every frustration and thinking only good. Okay, what am I saying there? It's kind of... I wanted to make it short enough, but what you do is you take every frustration, you take it to him. You don't hold it. It's not something you think, I'm going to take care of this myself. Amen? And then when you take it to him, then you only think good things. All right, you know where I'm going, right? Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. Oh, it's something else I got to do. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So it's not your, it's not that you're doing nothing with anxiety. No, you're taking anxiety. Because your heart needs to be able to rest so that your mouth can breathe. And you can actually be confident. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard what? Your heart. And minds. Through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true. So, if this is true, if this is a promise that we have, that he's going to guard our hearts. It kind of goes to what we're looking at on Sunday. If it's a truth that we have from him, then by faith, I'm going to start thinking things. This is what somebody that is guarded by faith does. They think good thoughts. They don't take anxiety. And they begin to identify those things that are going to cause their heart to be troubled. Amen? Think on things that are true, what things are noble, what things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, report. If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. What are we doing? We're developing confidence. Man, these things are helpful, aren't they? All right, I probably should have split them up into 6 different weeks here, but we're good, amen? So what do we do with cares? That's just things in the world that we care about, isn't it? And they can be things that we need to take care of our family, we need to take care of our job, we need to take care of everything. But we're supposed to cast them all on him, aren't we? Because if we're trying to take our cares, our confidence goes down. Because we can't breathe. Okay? 1 Peter 5:6. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God. It says, just realize that God's going to be the one that can do this, right? And at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Don't you like this? Cares cast. I don't, forgive me, but I'm thinking about a time when masks messed up your breathing. And when you cast your care, it's like taking off the mask. And now you can breathe fresh air. Amen? All right, strength maintains strength. Confidence maintains strength for stability, defense, and advancing with confidence. This is something I'm learning as my hair gets grayer, that it's very critical for my health and my confidence for me to go work out, whether I feel like it or not. I gotta keep strength. Amen? And it becomes a part of our process. Why are we strong in the Lord? Because we need confidence. We can't be worried about things. We're strong in the Lord, strong in the power of his might. Ephesians 6:10, a final word, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on all God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you'll still be standing firm. So to not be strong is to not stand, to not be able to stand. We need our strength. Amen. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body of armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from God's good news, that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all these things, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Man, we got so much to do, don't we? What you doing this week? I'm just working on my confidence. What else you doing? Well, I'm pretty busy working on my confidence. Intentional celebration with joy enables strength from the Lord. So how are you going to be strong? And Nehemiah 8:10, I'm just going to summarize this real quick. They had discovered things that caused their hearts to grieve because their hearts did not have confidence towards God. They realized that they had been falling short in what the law had told them to do, and so they started to mourn. And this is really a really good example of this in this context, I believe. Is we don't mourning is not what's going to help us to be strong. Feeling bad about where we have messed up, it's not going to help us to be strong. Amen? The joy of the Lord is our strength. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is the biggest thing I want to accomplish. Every time we come into the presence of the Lord, the best evidence of being there is joy. It's not a seriousness. I think we have to be careful of that. I grew up when it's like you got to get real serious when you get in. Real worship is when you get real serious and cry. And we used to go up to the altar and just cry. But a lot of times it was joyful crying, you know? It's like, but your strength, if you're going to be strong, if you're going to develop, and so you actually have to intentionally do it. You can put on a garment of praise. It's going to be a praise that brings joy, brings gladness. And even at the end of bringing some frustrations and anxiety to God, we leave with joy because we've left him there. Amen? All right. All right. Assurance of victory and reward. Y'all good? Oh, man. All right. Here we go. All right. I just got a couple here. Assurance of victory and reward. As it has already been proven, there's great reward that confidence will produce if maintained. I'm just going to give. You can read through that if you want. But basically what he's saying, you know what? When you are born again, you had a lot of adversity. You know, we don't even know what persecution begins to be. What they went through back then, I mean, all the disciples brutally tortured and everything else. But he's talking to just the normal people, what they had to go through because there was opposition. Man, you give your life to God. It's not just, Jesus didn't say everything's going to be wonderful. He said, you're going to have tribulation. There's going to be opposition. And he said, you went through this, you proved it. There should be encouragement that we get from where God has taken us, where God's taken somebody else. Because what the enemy wants to get us looking at is fear of what might happen. It's always what might happen. That's what fear is. And he said, I'd like for you to look at what did happen, how God was faithful. Amen? And it will give you confidence going into the mights to go through it with confidence, knowing that God's faithful. No matter what happens, you're going to be in him. Amen? He said, you get your strength from that. So there's always a looking beyond where you're at that is necessary for confidence. You can't be stuck with your head to the ground if you're going to go over the ground. Confidence in the joyful victory enables enduring tenacity till the end. Jesus is such a great example of this, isn't he? He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. And I believe we could use the word confidence. The author and the finisher of our confidence. He never let go of it, did he? All the way to the cross. And what enabled him in that? It was joy. Our strength is dependent upon joy. So that becomes if we're going to develop in it, man, we just become joyful people. Whether we were born with a melancholy I don't even know all the names. They're sanguine, and my wife could help me with all that. But it doesn't matter how we're born. We've been born again. It's a new creation in Christ. Amen? Old things are passed away. That means everything's new before us. And now we have victory going forward, and we're confident about it. We know where we've come from, and we know where we're going to. And our God is faithful. Amen.